Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today we have as our special guest Colonel Ron Ray. He's retired, a Marine Corps colonel. He served in the Reagan Defense Department as an assistant to Secretary of Defense. He is certainly he's been involved with a number of very important legal cases in this country dealing with the preservation of our prayer in our institutions and the attack on the Ten Commandments, really the overall attack on Christianity. And he was certainly very much involved with the case there in Kentucky where they had posted, those terrible documents, the Ten Commandments, the Declaration of Independence, a couple of articles out of the Congressional Record, or one out of there, and something Abraham Lincoln had written, and that was declared unconstitutional because it was a religious document. It really wasn't. It was a historical document laying out the foundation upon which our freedom rests, and that was the biblical basis upon which America was founded. Our first laws were all based upon Blackstone's Commentaries of the Laws of England, which were based upon the Bible. Well, anyway, you don't want to hear me talk. Colonel Ron Ray, thank you so very much for being with us.
Stan, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and I'm looking forward to this, and I hope you and yours are well and had a great Thanksgiving last week.
We sure did, and thanks so very much. Well, tell us, what's the current status of that case? And is it, now the Supreme Court has ruled that you couldn't display the Ten Commandments in your courthouses, but elsewhere, as long as they took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, then it was all right to display them. What sort of schizophrenia is that?
Well, it's schizophrenia, but the sad thing to me, there's no question that it's schizophrenia. The Texas case permitted a memorial that had been the Fraternal Order of Eagles, FOE, had put those on many of the courthouse, Capitol grounds, in front of some courthouses and Capitol grounds. I think back in the 50s, Kentucky has one that was removed, will eventually be restored. But what we did in Kentucky was not to put up the Ten Commandments by itself, because so many people think the Ten Commandments is a religious document. They don't really understand that historically, and as every American would have known prior to World War I, maybe even as late as prior to World War II, that the Ten Commandments is the precedent legal code upon which our system of law, justice, and government are based. So what we did is put up a display that included the Ten Commandments. It included an excerpt from the Declaration of Independence, recognizing that a self-evident truth that there's a creator and it wasn't us, that there was a creator and he was the source of our rights and our liberties. We put the national motto up, "In God We Trusted," adopted by Congress in July of 1956. And I might just put a little footnote there. This is an interesting point of how little attention is paid to facts and truth. The judge who ruled against this display, which I'm going to describe in fuller, a Clinton-appointed judge, Jennifer Kaufman, affiliated with the KEA and the National Education Association, a doctrinaire liberal, what she said at the press conference later on is going to be a great interest to your listeners.
Wasn't there any way to get her reclused from the case? In other words, say, she obviously has preconceived notions.
Well,
we're going to break here in just a moment, so we'll be right back with Colonel Ron Ray.
Thanks.
And people must understand that the attack on Christianity and the Ten Commandments is really attack on the foundations of our freedom, because it was from these concepts that our freedom came. For we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And that certainly must be stamped out forever, so that our freedom will come from government, not from God. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Colonel Ron Ray, the formerly with it during the Reagan administration, the Assistant Secretary of Defense, and certainly he has been on the presidential commissions. He was a presidential commission appointed by George Herbert Walker Bush. They were dealing with, of course, homosexuals and women in the military, and they spent many, many months working on this presidential commission. He's been involved in a number of law cases, and he is today involved or was very much involved with the case of what happened in Kentucky, where they had posted on the courthouse walls in Kentucky and in government buildings the Ten Commandments, the Declaration of Independence, and I'm going to let you tell the rest of the things that were there, Ron.
Well, Stan, what's interesting, as you know, is the saddest thing is that nobody in the state of Kentucky, while this was going on, not a single newspaper actually reported on the nature of the display, and they didn't report on the fact that there was a resolution publicly posted by the magistrates in the two counties involved, McCreary County. They posted a resolution, a historic resolution, to state their purpose, and their purpose was to because they were concerned that Americans were no longer taught in schools, and they no longer knew why our national motto was "In God We Trust," or why America had always been called "One Nation Under God," or that nobody had ever taught the lawyers or the judges and the teachers that four times the U.S. Supreme Court between 1844 and 1931 held that America was a Christian nation. So therefore, the display of historic documents was put up so that people could understand. In fact, they quoted a former chaplain of the United States Senate, Richard Halverson, who expressed his concern formally in the U.S. Senate that methods were being employed in the rewriting of American history, and he warned that God is being systematically removed from the foundational truths undergirding this land. So their purpose was, as you said, but the people of Kentucky never found out, and the people of America never found out what was actually done. It was not about the separation of church and state. It was not even about religion. What was being done was a suppression and censorship of use of the foundations of this country, which are clearly Christian, and it also indicates that all of these documents were official documents of the permanent history of American civil government. In other words, everything that was on the wall had to do with the state side. There was no church document up. There was no religious document up. And you and I know that the worst thing that's happened to America in the 20th century is that there has been a history has been radically from our lives.
Hold that. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Colonel Ray was just saying that the worst thing that had happened during this 20th century was this effort to undermine the knowledge, the realization of the Christian foundation of this country, the fact that the Supreme Court on four occasions had held this was a Christian country, at last, in 1931, that this is not taught in our schools, that this is not taught in our law schools, that most of the men who swear to uphold our Constitution, our legislators, and people in the executive and judicial branch of government, don't even know about the history of America and why we were different than any other nation in the world. And so there were two counties in Kentucky that actually wanted to post these documents to try to remind people about the heritage of America and that we were different than other countries. These were not religious documents. This had to do with the history of the founding of our country. So pick up the story there, Colonel.
Well, I will. And I think that the three largest groups, one of which I used to be one of, three largest groups of people in America ignorant about who we are and why we'd be one nation of God under God are pastors, lawyers, and teachers. And that's simply a fact. Remember that Daniel Boorstin, a librarian of the Library of Congress, 1961, before he assumed the office as the most influential historian in America, wrote a book called The Image, A Guide to Pseudo-Events in America. That's The Image, A Guide to Pseudo-Events in America. He said, and this is a librarian of the Library of Congress speaking, Americans live in a world of pseudo-facts, which is created for them by their own media. And to make that point further, two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning author David McCullough wrote a very good biography of John Adams, a very readable biography of John Adams, and a similar one of Truman, The Path Between the Seas, about Panama and the Panama Canal. He gave the speech at the Library of Congress in October of 2002 introduced by Jim Billington, the current librarian of the Library of Congress. He was the keynote speaker at the Library of Congress, therefore an official speech. He said to a large, liberal, urban, well-educated audience at the Library of Congress in October of 2002, "We're raising a generation of historical illiterates. This ignorance is dangerous to American liberty." And then he said, "We face a foe today who believes in enforced ignorance. We don't." And a largely liberal, well-educated audience gave him a standing ovation when he said, we face a foe today who believes in enforced ignorance." And I'll tell you that the foe we face today, he was speaking of, don't include radical Muslims, don't include terrorists. They include groups like the NEA, the ACLU, the foundations that have funded them, and many other radical organizations that have been intent, really, since the 20s. And the Reese Committee uncovered this, since the 20s, to rewrite our history and to suppress the truth of who we are. And this case was an opportunity to put those some typical documents up. The one of them that was put up was an actual page from the Congressional Record. And that page of the Congressional Record, which was I think February the 3rd, 1983, was a congressional resolution passed to calling upon President Ronald Reagan to declare 1983 the year of the Bible because of the Bible's importance in the creation of our system of law and civil government. And they passed it. They included a Ten Commandments were in that page from the Congressional Record. The copy was actually taken from the Supreme Court Library, so no one could say it was a church document or a religious document, because it came out of the official Congressional Record in the Supreme Court Library, was blown up and put on the wall, and Ronald Reagan responded to the call of Congress in 1983 and passed the proclamation, signed in the year of our Lord, 1983. That Lord, we could point out who that was in 1983 years ago, and he passed a resolution declaring 1983 the year of the Bible for that reason, and made some very strong statements about how important the Bible was and the Ten Commandments were to the foundations of American law and civil government. Now remember, Woodrow Wilson warned us, the only and first college professor and president of a college who had ever been elected president of the United States. While he was campaigning in 1912, he eventually published a book called The New Freedom in 1913, and he made a very important point that was warning America that they should have listened. A nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today or what it is trying to do. We're trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about.
Well, you know, Chris, one of the things that you left off was the media, because the media did not tell the people of Kentucky what was going on. The media is not telling the people of America what is going on. And they are concealing this, and the only time you're really going to get anything true out of the newspapers is maybe a small Shopper, or I can think of the Rocky Mountain News, and one or two small newspapers across the country. But the major media will never really tell you the both sides of this story.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I assumed that would be the case. What I did was reach out through Christian media, and I called upon pastors to get copies of these documents and display them in the churches to tell people what was at stake, to make copies of this resolution and pass it out. And I think they were too busy building basketball courts and larger buildings, because the pastors who should have picked up when this began to happen, when prayer was taken out of the schools late in 1962 without citing a single precedent in Engle versus Battelle, they should have moved forward to make that to teach the truth about our history through the churches, by encouraging people to do it at home, providing materials and stuff, when it was clear that there was a war against one nation under God, a foe today who believes in enforced ignorance, as David McCullough said, and if we don't believe in it, then in point of fact that parents and pastors, churches, seminaries have to pick up the slack. You know what? They didn't pick up the slack. I wouldn't expect a media monopoly intent on promoting humanism, socialism, and globalism to necessarily want us to know the truth about the fact that what happened in the so-called Ten Commandments case was that the foundation truths about our country were under attack, could be suppressed and censored The interesting thing is we had a 5-4 decision when it got to the Supreme Court. And in the 4 years after we left the case, those documents were abandoned. The resolution was repudiated by the lawyer representing those counties in the U.S. Supreme Court. We still got 4 votes who said nothing could be more neutral if you apply neutrality as the test, which the Supreme Court argued that it would be, than to show the real truth of American history and put up documents from the permanent history of civil government and pointing to the source of our law being God, which is simply presenting history. Nothing could be more neutral than that.
And of course, but the attorney who was supposedly defending the counties really didn't try to defend him, did he?
Not at all. In fact, he didn't realize when they took the display down and they began to negotiate with the judge and with the ACLU for different documents, and they put up a picture of a lady justice with the blindfold on and the Magna Carta and other things, pointing away from that. And when the briefs were filed in the Supreme Court, the argument was made, this court should adopt a new test for government acknowledgement of religion, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor's proposed test in the New Dow case.
And
which was ceremonial deism, which specifically, under her definition, Sandra Day O'Connor's definition, said you could make no mention of prayer, there could be no prayer, no worship, and no mention of divine providence, which every president in his inaugural address acknowledges divine providence in the creation of this country, its discovery, and in the administrations that have preceded them, and all of them. Every president has used prayer and petition to ask for the continuation of God's blessing and his divine providence or divine government during their administration. But yet, Sandra Day O'Connor mentioned that in the New Dow case, which is the first time the one nation under God, the Pledge of Allegiance, was challenged in the Ninth Circuit, that went up to the Supreme Court, that was dismissed on a technicality, but 3 opinions were written, and most of our leaders in this country have not paid attention to those, but the attorneys representing the counties in the Supreme Court wanted to appeal to Sandra Day O'Connor and were happy if ceremonial deism, giving away prayer, giving away any mention of divine providence as long as the display would be approved. And the resolution that I talked about, the historical resolution that was never printed in the newspapers, never distributed in this to the people of Kentucky while the case was in Kentucky or the people of America, that resolution was repudiated orally during the oral argument and in an official document. And if you read that that resolution, it is a history lesson that any American should be proud of, and particularly any Christian should be proud of. The quotes from many of the founding fathers, William Blackstone, who pointed out in his great Commentaries on the Laws of England, published in 1765 and read by most of our founding fathers, upon these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation, or the Bible, must depend all human laws. Those were the kinds of things that were repudiated by a lawyer purporting to represent one nation under God and trying to preserve the display of the Ten Commandments for its proper purpose as the foundation of American law and civil government. Whatever the religious, America would recognize many churches, denominations, from Judaism and its branches to Catholicism and Orthodox Christianity, and many denominations of Protestants would take different religious views of the significance of the Ten Commandments. They're even different. But Americans prior to World War II all would have recognized that it was the precedent legal code. None of these other religions had provided any code or foundation that our government used to form the basis of its laws.
And what people have to understand is that our attention is focused on the war over in Iraq. We are losing our religious freedom. We're losing the foundations of our freedom here at home. So just as in Vietnam, which was a great diversion. So what's going on overseas in the Middle East is a great diversion. I'm concerned about all the men who are fighting there, but don't understand that they're over there thinking they're fighting for our freedom. We are losing our freedom here at home, because if they're able to destroy the religious foundation of America, then of course they will destroy the very foundation upon which our freedom rests. For we are the nation under God, or we will cease to be a nation with freedom completely. We'll be right back here in just a moment.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea. Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 and the nuclear arm off the eastern coast? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Colonel Ron Ray. And, Colonel, please go ahead and pick up the story of what happened there in Kentucky and this incredible Supreme Court decision that found it was all right to declare the Ten display the Ten Commandments one place but not in another. And, of course, who was the person who actually shifted on that? Which Supreme Court justice was that?
I think was probably the swing vote, in a sense. There was a 5-4 decision, and you've got Scalia, Thomas, Chief Justice Rehnquist, and Kennedy all said basically that there could be nothing. And I want you to understand, the display that we put up, which was not defended for 4 years and was repudiated, got 4 votes in the U.S. Supreme Court. It's probably a legal, historical test that without defense and in the face of repudiation, 4 justices agreed there was nothing wrong with the display that was repudiated and not defended for a four-year period. In fact, Justice Souter, who wrote the majority opinion in the Kentucky case, commented on the fact that they didn't attempt to do it. But it was interesting that Jim Bunning, right after the lower court ruled, the former Hall of Fame baseball pitcher and threw no-hitters in the American League and the National League, junior senator from Kentucky, issued a strong warning in the Kentucky Post and issued it, sent out a press release from his office warning them about the censorship of our founding documents. This is what he said in July of 2000, right after the opinion came down in May. In fact, the judge issued her ruling late on the Friday of the day before the Kentucky Derby, so that that Americans and Kentuckians who are paying any attention on the next day, they'd have been watching the famous Kentucky horse race, and the media wouldn't have paid attention. But this is what Senator Bunning said: "We just finished celebrating our nation's 224th birthday on Independence Day, July 4th. Kentuckians in three counties have been ordered by the federal judiciary to regard the Declaration of Independence, our nation's charter, and the congressional record and other sensitive parts of our official history as somehow offensive to the Constitution." So there was some attention being paid, but the sad news is that people didn't understand that this wasn't about religion. It wasn't about a church document, the Ten Commandments. It was an attack on the history that reveals what our foundations are and why we're one nation under God. The majority opinion pointed out that if there's a conflict between history and the last 60 or 65 years of precedence of the Supreme Court, the history has to give way to the more recent precedence of the Supreme Court. And I think that's very interesting, because there's a lot of truth in this case. They didn't claim they were interpreting the First Amendment of the Constitution. They were only following recent Supreme Court precedent, going back to Everson versus Schimpf and a case in 1941. Now, what did Scalia say? This is what Scalia and the four said without anybody filing a brief or without anybody making an oral argument supporting the display. They said all this display does, it shows that the exhibit was meant to focus upon the historic role of Christianity and religious belief in our national life, which is entirely permissible. And the same can be said of the resolution. To prevent any government focus upon this aspect of our American history is to display what Justice Goldberg called untutored devotion to the concept of neutrality. That would commit the court and the nation to a revisionist agenda of secularization.
But of course, that's really what it's all about, Colonel. There is an agenda, and it's backed by the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union and People for the American Way, and by so many of these subversive organizations that are attacking the Christian foundation of this country, like they're taking Christmas out of Christmas. All of our major stores, Kmart, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, these other stores, Sears, Costco, they're saying you can't refer to it as Christmas. It's got to be Happy Holiday Season, holiday trees.
Well, it's an interesting thing that the Declaration is offensive to them for many reasons. You know, it does say several things that are vital. It does say that there is a Creator, that they recognize Him not as religious men, not as church officials, but as government officials, that it's a self-evident truth that there's a Creator, and He's the source of our life, our liberty, and our rights, and that government's job is solely to secure those rights, and that all legitimate government rests upon the consent of the governed. And then it goes on to say what's really offensive to the statist agenda and the bigger government, and that is if government becomes intolerable of these ends, the people have the right to alter or abolish it to establish new government on those original principles.
Amen to that. Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Colonel Ron Ray, and we'll first develop these ideas. And I think it's so vitally important for people to understand that Christianity is under attack in America today. We'll be back in just a moment here continue this discussion, but understand where the foundation of our freedom really comes from.
we have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And, of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Colonel Ron Ray. And, Colonel, please go right ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, let me quote Justice Souter and let you know what the really heart of this is, and then we can talk about, maybe we ought to talk about why the churches and religious media and press didn't accurately reflect on what was being done here. But what Souter was really saying, that American, official documents of American history, not religious documents, but documents the foundation of American law and civil government, cannot be displayed because their references to God, the Lord, or even Jesus Christ or Christian nation have, quote, indisputable and undisputed showing of an impermissible purpose. In other words, any of our documents and all of our founding documents throughout the congressional record, throughout the Declaration of Independence, the preamble to every state constitution says that Almighty God is the source of our rights and our liberty, and what have you, to put those documents up converts our historic documents into church documents, which violates their principle of separation of church and state. It's an absurd reasoning. The question you have to ask yourself is not why the secular media, the media monopoly, didn't report on this, but why didn't our church leaders, why didn't the Christian press, the Baptist press, the Catholic press, why didn't they report about this? We've been inundated now for 60 or 65 years with a series of decisions which created a fictitious wall of separation between church and state, which the agenda was to drive God out of government. In fact, the only constitution that I'm familiar with that uses those very languages is the old Soviet constitution, banning non-denominational prayer from the public schools in 1962 without citing a single authority, which is an edict, and that was Engel versus Vitale. Removing the Ten Commandments in Kentucky, which has been fighting this for some time, in Stone versus Graham. No oral argument or briefing was permitted in that case. striking down a period of silence not to exceed 1 minute for meditation or voluntary prayer in Wallace v. Jaffrey in 1985, censoring creationist viewpoints when evolutionist viewpoints are taught, Edwards v. Aguilar, 1987, barring prayers at public school graduations, Lee v. Wiseman, 1992. What happened back there 60 or 65 years ago? Stan, your listeners probably have some insight into that. Certainly, if you've advertised, and I know you carry, Paul Fisher's book, Behind the Lodge Door, which gets behind not just the lodge door, it gets behind the Supreme Court Justice's office doors, gets into the correspondence, and truthfully and accurately reflects upon part of that agenda, the un-American agenda, which has been promoted and which is totally now in conflict with American law and history prior to these decisions in 1940. And it follows the appointment of Felix Frankfurter to the Supreme Court, who began to orchestrate this event while he was on the Supreme Court, and the Masons, high-degreed Masons from 41 to 71, controlled the Supreme Court in that 30-year period when most of these decisions were passed on.
And, of course, the average person will never hear that. They will never hear it in the media. They will never hear it discussed by the politicians. But, tragically, they will never hear it discussed by our ministers who do not want to speak out against Mason. And I've been so many times to programs where they've been talking about cults, but they will never mention Masonry. And when asked, they said, oh, well, we wouldn't want to do that. That'd be dangerous. Ladies and gentlemen, how can you have a free society when you have a secret society that's so powerful that even the churches are afraid to speak against it?
Well, there's no question about that, and I think that we need to look at this case. We need to ask the question, is why won't the churches, and I guess so many of them are government churches now, they've applied for recognition by the state, they've incorporated themselves under state corporation laws, which is a privilege that you ask the state to give you. They're no longer the independent voice that they used to be. They're government churches, so many of them, and that's where the large church movement, the Nichols, Noses, and Numbers, the mega church movement, has, while America has been losing its liberty, basically since most of the 20th century, since the creation of the big foundations in 1908 and whatnot, the churches and religious institutions in America have been prospering, while America has been under attack.
And, of course, really what's so bothersome to me today is this faith-based initiative where these churches will take money from the government, and when you take money from the government, you become subservient to the government. There's no way around it. This is exactly what it was in Hitler's Germany, where the ministers were afraid to speak out against Adolf Hitler because they were all on the government payroll.
Now, Justice Scalia directly went to this point in the dissent, and I want to say that everyone should take a look at the firstprinciplespress.org website, the documents that were actually up. There are copies of those there. The resolution is there. There's some copies of some articles and materials that will be useful to you. That's firstprinciplespress.org. Here's what Scalia said in dissent. Nothing stands behind the court's assertion that governmental affirmation of the society's belief in God is unconstitutional, except the court's own say-so, citing as support only the unsubstantiated say-so of a few earlier courts going back no further than mid-20th century. And it is, moreover, a thoroughly discredited say-so. That's very strong language. Very strong language. And when you consider that the display wasn't defended, and the resolution and display were repudiated during oral argument and in a follow-on and unprecedented kind of filing of a brief, you actually see that the founding documents of our nation's history had no advocate before the U.S. Supreme Court. There have been, and we should ask, well, where our religious leaders are. There have been responses to that, and there have been a number resolutions and acts of Congress filed right after this in March of 2005. A bill was introduced in the U.S. Congress. I believe it was the Senate version is 520, and I believe the House version is H.R. 1070. They have some co-sponsors. If your senators and your congressmen are not co-sponsors of those two bills, they both seek to assert something that must be returned to American law and it must be brought into the Congress. And that is Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution makes a clear declaration that the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court and the inferior federal courts are subject to exceptions and regulation of Congress. That Congress can control and limit the jurisdiction of the court. And in this case, the Supreme Court ruling in this case, when they struck down the congressional record, which had the Ten Commandments within it, actually a page of the Ten Commandments, they were violating separation of powers. It's a perfect kind of case where Congress should stand up and say, how dare another branch of government limit the display, distribution, or reading from the official documents of another branch of government? How absurd for the president to issue an executive order saying you cannot read or display or distribute Supreme Court opinions. That's absurd, and that's exactly what they've done here. But there have been a number of bills introduced, different ones, but those two bills both having the same goal of limiting the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court to deal in any way with the refusal to deal in cases where acknowledging God as the source of our law and liberty, that the Supreme Court has no jurisdiction to take any cases in that subject. And I'd ask you to find out if your representative has co-sponsored Senate. The representative version, as I said, was H.R. 1070. The Senate version is 520. Senator Jim Bunning in Kentucky has endorsed S. 520. Senate Whip Mitch McConnell, our senior senator in Kentucky, has not yet done so, but he's beginning to get cards and letters from his constituents. So I would encourage everyone to read the Constitution, Article 3, Section 2. And I always like to remind anybody I get a chance to talk to about these subjects, I like to have pick up the Constitution and remember one thing. The Founding Fathers didn't capitalize the S in Supreme Court. It's a lowercase s. They capitalized the C for court. So anytime you see somebody capitalize the Supreme Court, they've elevated them to something that the Founders didn't intend.
And I hope the people out there will go to Colonel Ray's website. That's First Principles. Is that First Principles Press?
FirstPrinciplesPress.org.
And, of course, you can get the information there. And then, of course, call your congressmen and call your senators and ask them if they'll back this legislation. Because, you see, according to Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, why, the Congress has the ability to limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. And they have the perfect right to tell them, you can't intervene because, of course, you've betrayed your allegiance to this country. Senator Day O'Connor, on a recent decision, didn't want to go to the Supreme Court or to the Constitution to determine, you know, how the legislation or how the matter should be adjudicated. She wanted to go to the UNESCO or United Nations Charter and the United Nations Charter for Human Rights, rather than go to our Constitution, which she has sworn to uphold, and she should have been impeached over that issue.
Well, there's no question, and Stephen Breyer has done the same thing. He cited the European laws and enactments. And going back to Lawrence versus Texas, I don't know if you're familiar with the judge in Texas who's written a book about the whole Lawrence versus Texas was a subterfuge, was a fraud. That's the sodomy case that came out of that overturned a 1986 case that basically said the Supreme Court that sodomy was not an issue that could be decriminalized by the Supreme Court.
By a state, it was really.
Yeah,
state.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And but the Lawrence versus Texas case was completely a subterfuge and a fraud. But what the majority said in Lawrence versus Texas was that we don't need to look back 2,000 years or look back into the Old Testament or look back 350 years ago to the founding of the country. What should guide us is the last 50 years. That's the most relevant to the consideration, the evolving concepts of fairness and decency and notice.
And that was, of course, when when the Masons controlled the Supreme Court for 30 years, there's not one, probably not one in 1,000 lawyers that even knows that or even understands the significance of the Masonic vows that they take to the great architect of the universe, who is not the God of the Bible.
No question, and I hope you still carry Paul Fisher's
book. We carry Paul Fisher's book, and of course it's covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, as well, and I hope our listeners out there will want to get that information, want to document it for themselves. And once you realize that there really are secret societies, there really are people who've sworn blood oaths, And they have sat on the Supreme Court, and they've undermined the Christian foundation of this country. Then you can begin to understand what's really going on. And then the question comes up is what you and the listening audience are going to do. Certainly, Colonel Ray's been on the front line of this battle for a long time and has made a lot of personal sacrifices in an effort to dramatize this information. And you'll find everything on his website that you need to know. First Principles Press.
.org. Let me mention something now. A lot of folks, this Engle versus Vitale, I've had lawyers and judges get mad enough to want to come to blows when I point out there wasn't a single precedent in that case, in Engle versus Vitale, that took the 350-year-old practice of opening prayer in public schools, common schools, going all the way back to the founding, the discovery of this continent. But in that opinion, there was a footnote in the 1962 opinion, and what the court wanted to ease everybody's mind, this is what footnote 21 in Engle versus Vitale said, and it has a direct bearing on the censorship of the American history, the official history, in the recent McCreary County case in Kentucky. This is from 1962. The Supreme Court is speaking in the 6-3 case, took a prayer out of the public schools. There is, of course, nothing in the decision reached here that is inconsistent with the fact that school children and others are officially encouraged to express love for our country by reciting historical documents such as the Declaration of Independence, which contains reference to the deity, or by singing officially espoused anthems which include the composer's profession of faith in a supreme being, or with the fact that there are many manifestations in our public life of belief in God. Such patriotic or ceremonial exercise bear no true resemblance to the unquestioned religious exercises that the state of New York has sponsored in prayer in school in this instance. So they're specifically saying, we don't mean to limit in any way the display of the Declaration of Independence or other historical documents that acknowledge the Creator, acknowledge God as the foundation. That was what they said then, but this is now.
And of course, little bit by little bit, they're eroding the religious foundation of America, because they know if they can destroy that, then the dictatorship will not be far behind.
And I can tell you this, the greatest judgment begins at the house of God. The great failure, while this has been going on the last 80 or 90 years, the last, certainly since it began to get a heavy steam right after World War I, when the ACLU was founded, the American Law Institute was founded, you began to get a lot of action by groups like the American Civil Liberties Union, the NEA was founded, the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee, Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, all of which have been active in attacking the Christian agenda. They've been after prayer in the armed forces in recent days. Those are some of the groups that have taken the position that not the consent of the governed is what should govern legitimate government, but what powerful special interests, and some of whom are secret and limited membership, such as Stan has been talking about, that are seeking to gradually change the American way of life so it's unrecognizable by those who would have lived not too many decades ago.
Well, I think it's so important that you get this information out, that your website has the information, that people understand what is really behind all of this, because you destroy the Christian of the godly foundation of this country. And you can even be a Jew. You don't have to believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, but you have to believe that our freedom comes from God. And America is a unique nation because our freedom comes from God. And there are many Jewish people who actually recently have been coming out and rather horrified that they're trying to take the Christ out of Christmas. But of course, they are certainly a minority, but at least I applaud them, Don Fetter and a few of the others who've had the courage to stand up and say, I'm actually an Orthodox Jew, but I'm offended at what these people are doing. You destroy the Christian foundation of this country. You destroy the nation that's given us the freedom to worship as we see fit.
Well, that's right. And there have been rabbis who've spoken out and Jewish leaders have spoken out and said that the America, the Christian nation, has given us a home and has treated us better than we've been treated anywhere in the world throughout our history. And that is great. And there's no question in these radical movements, the funding of these radical movements, you'll find the ACLU enjoys tremendous support from a lot of these very liberal and secular Jewish organizations and foundations. There's no question about it. But it's been going on a long time. They've dumbed us down deliberately. Wilson's a warning in 1912 and 1913 that if we don't remember who we were, it's impossible to know who we are, where we are, or where we're going. President Hoover wrote a book, The Challenge to Liberty, and he said that's the function of the President of the United States, is to secure liberty and justice for all, and that we had already lost that because there had been a bureaucracy and a media that had developed a vast propaganda subtly designed to control our thought and opinion and destroying our independent judgment, which lets us connect the dots and see what's going on in front of our very eyes.
Well, Colonel, thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been Colonel Ron Ray. His website, firstprinciplespress.org. Go there. Get the information. And, of course, call your congressman and get them to support that legislation. God bless you, Colonel, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the not-too-distant future.
Always good to stand. Great to be with you. My best to Barbara.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I certainly hope you enjoyed our interview with Colonel Ron Ray. And, of course, we have actually two books dealing with this. One of them is written by our good friend John Stormer. It goes into the background of what's happening as far as the Supreme Court is concerned. Called Betrayed by the Bench. You need to get the book. You need to read it. The other is written by Phyllis Schlafly. It's called The Supremacist. Those two books will give you the background of what's happening legally. Betrayed by the Bench, though, I really recommend to you John Stormer's book. It takes you into the background of an understanding of the religious foundation of America. America was the dream. It was a nation where men could really be free. And men had sought this for literally thousands of years. And we were the culmination of all man's dreams for freedom. And you really need to read Jarrett Stormer's book, Betrayed by the Bits. Must reading. It's so important you understand what's going on and that you commit yourself to help us in this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and their survival of freedom here in America. So, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. For Betrayed by the Bench or by the Supremacists, both stories about the Supreme Court. And then, of course, we do hope you'll want to get much of our other material. We have William Federer's wonderful book, America's God and Country, The Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye, Original Intent by David Barton. Those three books, America's God and Country, quotations from our founding fathers, and then of course you'd certainly want to get perhaps his CD, get that separately or along with the book, and then of course you'd want to get The Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye, and of course the book Original Intent by David Barton. You need to have the documentation, you need to understand these Supreme Court decisions, and then of course to put everything into context, because nobody else is going to tell you, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which goes into the fact that members of a secret society that had taken blood oaths, probably seemed to have their tongue ripped out and be buried in the sands of the sea up to the level of their neck, if they were ever to divulge any of the secrets or have their abdomen ripped open and their bowels cut out and burned and fed to the birds of the air or their heart cut out, what sort of men would take oaths like that? And, of course, swearing to keep their loyalty and secrets of the lodge from anyone else. No wonder nobody wants to talk about it. I've talked to 32nd degree Masons who've come out of the lodge and they're still afraid to come on the air and talk about it because they know it can happen to them forever divulging the secrets that they've sworn to conceal. And you put people on like that on the Supreme Court whose loyalty is to... the great architect of the universe, who is Lucifer. Understand, he is the prince of this world, and we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read our three pamphlets on the occult hierarchy, part one, part two, part three, they're $3.95 each, all three of them for $9.95, plus shipping. Here in California, you'll have to pay the tax on it, but you need to get this information. You need to understand who the enemy is and why, from generation to generation, people of great wealth have given their whole of their lives and their fortune to establishing a new world order and a new world religion, because that's what it's really all about. It's about the ultimate destruction of Christianity. And they've infiltrated our churches today, and they've changed the message and the music of our churches, and you need to get our material on the church growth movement and the books that we carry, The Dark Side of the Purpose-Driven Church, Deceived on Purpose, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, and so many other things we have to offer here. Information that you need to have to be able to help us in this battle that we're engaged in today. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle. So again, our website, RadioLiberty.com, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.